So, think for a moment. You're faced with a predicament. You know, you've been told your life is going to end in an hour or so. What do you do?
I called my parents and the food showed up about 4. I ordered 2 7-ounce steaks, 7 sunny-side-up eggs with a bowl of jalapeno peppers and a glass of ice and 4 milks and a pint of vanilla ice cream. But I just sat there on the phone talking to my parents and I couldn't eat it. I just didn't have the stomach to eat it. It smelled good, looked good, but I just couldn't eat it. Just kept drinking the tea.
Those words were written by Charles Dean Hood, age 39, who has spent half his life on death row, writing there about waiting for his execution, an execution that was actually stayed. If all goes according to plan, he will die by lethal injection this Wednesday, or not. As I said, he's already had stays of execution, 5 in total, and it's nothing new when it comes to death row. What is unusual is why. There are credible allegations in the Dean Hood case that the judge who presided over his trial was having an affair with the prosecutor who handled the case against Hood. A hearing is scheduled for this morning to investigate those allegations, just one of an enormous number of twists in the life of Charles Dean Hood. And for a glimpse into his life on death row and an update on his case, we turn to Michael Hall, senior editor of Texas Monthly. He's been corresponding with Charles Dean Hood in letters like the one read by our producer Corey Takahashi since 2002. You can read Hood's letters from death row in the September issue of Texas Monthly. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you.
You know, these letters give an extraordinary insight into an experience that probably none of us can imagine. How did you begin receiving these?
Well, I actually heard from Hood back in 2002 after I'd written a long story about death row, about whose main character was a guy named Ernest Willis, who wound up eventually walking off death row. He was an innocent guy on death row, and he was kind of an older guy, and Hood called him Pop. Hood was like, looked up to him, and that story came out, and all the guys in death row get our magazine. So whenever I write anything about him, I get a lot of letters. And so I started to get letters from him. This is back in December of 2002.
Well, what are the circumstances of him being on death row? I mean, he's convicted of murder, right?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that this is not an innocence case. I mean, Hood, he maintains his innocence, but I think if you read everything, it's pretty clear that he's the state got it right this time, as I say in the story. He was convicted of killing a man and a woman who were his roommates in Plano back in 1989. He was their roommate. He had been a bouncer at a strip club. This guy used to go to the strip club, and the woman was a stripper there. And he shot them both in the head and took the guy's car and went back to Indiana, where he was from, and they found his bloody fingerprints the next day all over everything. So.
Well, if the case is so clear-cut, what's unusual about the details, and why have they motivated so many stays?
Well, I mean, there were, like in most cases, a lot of little issues in this one. He had had a really rough upbringing and a low IQ, and things like that are always brought up to stay at execution, and that's no different here. But the big thing here was allegations that the DA, Tom O'Connell, and the judge named Verla Sue Holland had been having an affair back in 1990 and for several years before and after it during this trial. And this was something that his Hood's people had brought up before. They'd hired a private investigator. They'd talked to various people who said, "Oh yeah, of course, everybody knew what was going on." You know, this is all in Collin County, which is just north of Dallas, and it's got a real small town vibe. And basically, everybody said, "Yeah, it was an office romance. Everybody knew about it. Nobody did anything about it." And the first I heard of that was in 2005 when there was a story on Salon.com. But that story mostly had people on the defense side saying that, and they were all saying the same thing: "Oh yeah, of course it happened." But there was nothing from, you know, nobody from the prosecutors saying that, and the highest court in Texas just turned its nose up at these allegations, said they're just allegations.
Well, I want to ask you what your sense is of what's going to happen on Wednesday, but before I do you think the value of of these letters you've received from Charles Dean Hood are principally in describing this experience of being in legal limbo, basically a thread away from death?
Well, we printed three of his letters, and the first one, in Texas death row, the first 10 years of his time were sent at an older unit where actually the guys got a lot of privileges, and part of the great thing about the letters is he described all these great privileges that they had. They got to hang out together. They got to play sports together. They had sex with guards, all this kind of stuff. Then they moved him back in 2000 to a new unit, a supermax unit, where they have absolutely no contact with anybody. They're in solitary confinement. So his second letter was all about that, and we really liked that. But then when this, on June 17th, was his last day of execution. He was supposed to be executed on June 17th. And it turned out to be this very strange day where he got essentially two stays of execution. And so his third letter describes this whole day. And it's just this horrible, horrible day where the state basically yo-yoed him back and forth between, you know, life and death and ultimately did not kill him. And so his third letter is about that. And that's where I think the most value is.
Well, Charles Dean Hood is scheduled to be executed on Wednesday. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, they're having a hearing today. For the first time, they're actually going to have a hearing to see whether to have a hearing into whether there was truly an affair. And this isn't just, you know, rumors. And they're going to do that this morning at 9 o'clock. And they've asked both the judge and the DA, who've never said anything about it. They haven't denied it. They haven't said anything. They've just ignored all calls for requests. They've asked for letters, cards, receipts for gifts, pictures, anything showing the extent of their relationship. They've asked these two to come to this hearing this morning. So this is the very first time this has happened. You know, Texas is pretty persistent in executing its convicts. However, I mean, even now, the Attorney General of the state, a very conservative guy, is asking the governor, hold off, let's look into this a little bit more. So it's anybody's guess at this point.
Well, there may be another letter in it, depending on what happens at the hearing. Michael Hall, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
Michael Hall is a senior editor at Texas Monthly, talking about the case of Charles Dean Hood on death row since 2002.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.